Hello and welcome to this episode of the Lehigh Valley with Love podcast. Today, we're joined by actress and performer Madeline Dundon, who grew up right here in the Lehigh Valley and is now starring in a powerful new feature called Hazel. Madeline is a stage and film actress, singer, and dancer. She attended West Virginia University and Becca High, West Virginia on a full scholarship for School of Theater and Dance, where she trained in opera and dance. And her debut came in 2018 in Daniel Roebuck's Getting Grace, which is where I think I first saw you, in which she won the Northeast Film Festival's Best Actress in a Leading Role Award. That's not a bad way to start out. And Hazel, the film that we're talking about today, is based on the true story of Hazel Minor, a teenage girl who fought to save her younger siblings during a deadly 1920 blizzard in North Dakota. And Hazel is screening at Frank Benko Alehouse Cinemas at ArtsQuest on December 7th, 8th, and 10th, each followed by a Q&A. You can get more information at artsquest.org. Number one, Madeline, thank you so much for being here. And number two, you have some news. So hit me with both of it.
George, thank you so much for having me. This is fantastic. And about an hour before we hopped on this call, I got an email from our producers of Hazel letting us know that the film's been picked up by Samuel Goldwyn Films and is going to be streaming on Apple TV and available December 23rd, just in time for Christmas.
That's crazy. Like, when you get an email like that, what do? Like, you're just like...
I
open the window and scream like just crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just so thrilled that it has a home because everybody worked so hard on it. And so to fight, you know, that's what it takes for independent films to reach an audience. Yeah. You have to do a lot of work goes into finding a distributor. So I'm just incredibly thrilled and grateful and excited.
Let's watch this teaser trailer first. And then I want to talk about it. So.
I want to go home, Hazel.
I know, darling.
Are you afraid?
No. No, I'm not. Are you?
I appear not.
You know I'm not afraid.
It's got some big vibe. What do you think independent films? You know what I mean? You're usually like somebody's, you know, filming with their VHS thing in a closet, but that's like huge expanse. Where was that filmed? Like, how did that kind of all come about?
So the production company shot the entirety of Hazel in and around Bismarck, North Dakota, as well as near Center, North Dakota, which is where this real life story happened. But, So the production company, Canticle Productions, at the time of making Hazel, their current film studio was still under construction. So they took an abandoned Kmart and converted an abandoned Kmart into an entire film studio with a full soundstage like Hollywood and an entire fake snowscape, green screen, blue screens, VFX. And So that is where it was filmed in Bismarck, North Dakota, and in an abandoned Kmart, which strangely lends itself so well to making films because of the space. We have one in Bethlehem.
Whoever's in charge of the one, you know, up there on 191.
That was my first thought, George. First thought when I walked in, I was like, we've got one of these in Bethlehem, and why isn't it a movie studio? For real.
We have all these warehouses and abandoned spaces that could, you know, film something like this. So, wow, there's so many. So let's talk a little bit about how you get from there. Because like, I know we mentioned quickly, you went to Becca, you go to West Virginia.
Yeah.
And then you're on screen with Dan Roebuck. How does that kind of happen? Mm-hmm. You're first on screen and then boom, it kind of seems like from there you've really blossomed. You've been in a lot of stuff. So.
Thank
Walk
you.
Us through it a little bit. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. So my senior year of high school, I was really involved in the theater program at BECA starting from an early age. I was like doing shows there when I was in grade school. But I was at the time a senior in high school, and Daniel Roebuck, went to BECA. He's an alum, and he was back in town in the Valley scouting locations for Getting Grace. And he went and visited BECA, and my principal, John Petrozelli, shout out, was like, I'm going to have Madeline from the theater program give this man a tour of the school. Wow. Some networking happening. And I met Danny that day, and I gave him a tour of the school. And it turns out that he had directed my dad in my dad's eighth grade one act play when they were children at St. Wow. Anne's. And so he knew my last name and he remembered my dad, but he had That's not great. Yet cast the role of Grace. So when he met me, he felt like I was a good fit for the part. And then he called my mom and asked my mom if I would audition, and said that before auditioning, I have to agree that I'll shave my head for the part. Wow. You have to agree before auditioning. Before auditioning, I want to know, are you in on shaving your head? And I was like, for a movie, for a feature film? Yes.
Right. And hair grows back, right?
Like it grows back.
Big deal.
How I got the part.
I said, like, Dan Roebuck has been, he might not want to admit it, but he's been in this very room where we shot an episode of our podcast very early on.
No, I'm sure he
which is amazing. Time. Well, it's so great that the story you just told, the fact that he comes back to the Lehigh Valley to make films using local talent and local production and spending money. And then you have a story like yours where you're able to not only get the part, but then excel in the part, right? Like nobody's going to act for you. You still have to
do it. Thank you.
How is that all? I mean, I know it's more of that was an independent film as well, but that seemed to do pretty well regionally and...
Thank you for saying all of that. It was such an amazing opportunity. And by the time I got to college, we shot the movie the summer before my freshman year at West Virginia. And by the time I was a sophomore, the film had gotten picked up by Sony Pictures and it was playing in movie theaters across the country. I couldn't believe that that was happening. It was streaming. And I remember I was at a party junior year, West Virginia, back after the summer. And one of my best friends had DVDs of Getting Grace sitting on her little bookshelf. She's like the best. She's so supportive. She had the DVDs sitting out there. This random guy who I did not know, who was from Maryland, saw the DVD of the movie and went, wait, why is this here? And I was like, and then Vic, my friend's explaining. And he's like, my mom loves this movie. She made me watch it over the summer. And I just saw this movie with my mom on Amazon or something over the summer.
Right.
And that was a really cool, that's like a little
that's weird too. Cause you know, for people who haven't seen, you know, Getting Grace, you know, it, you do have to shave your head cause you're playing someone who has cancer, correct?
Yes.
And so I guess it would be weird because it's like, wait a minute, do I recognize her? And then also, but she has hair. So it definitely would throw you off a little bit.
Yes. Yeah. Just a family stream in the movie, like not a friend, you know, here in the Valley. It was so just fun. A total stranger who had seen it. So it's found a place and you can watch it online and people still do. And it means a lot. It means a lot. We took it all over Canada. It's become like a classic amongst funeral home directors because Daniel plays one in the film. So we've gone to many screenings and fundraisers like across the country and in Canada that funeral home committees and associations have. And so it's been just so interesting and wonderful.
It's a great film. And it doesn't hurt that. I mean, it's filmed in Bethlehem and then the setting, I forget, is it Connell? Funeral home?
Heron. Well, we actually used both. We shot in a couple. Yeah.
Are we lucky that I guess we're lucky that we have so many beautiful homes in Bethlehem?
Like
we're well taken care of in that regard. So we're doing well. So that's amazing. So you go from that and bring me to how you get the role in Hazel you know, connect the dots from there.
So I did Getting Grace and then I signed with a agency out in Los Angeles that I was self-tape auditioning with all throughout college. So for 4 years of college, I was auditioning while being a student. I was self-taping constantly for movies and TV shows. And I think I didn't have any success, but I think I learned a lot while being with that agency and doing those auditions for major projects. And that was kind of a training in and of itself. And then by the time I graduated, it was COVID, like it was 2020. And I moved back home. And my plan was to, I really wanted to go to grad school. I'm also a historian and I work in archives and with museums and libraries. And I knew I wanted to go and continue my education. But I wanted to keep performing and it was COVID. There was nothing going on. And Danny wrote another movie, Lucky Louie, that he was filming in the Valley. And he wrote me a role in that film. And so then that was my next feature film. Then after Lucky Louie, I got offered through just a crazy network of events, thriller in Maine that I shot, I think 2 years after that. And that film was just with an entirely different production team, but Corey Garriak, who was the director of photography on Getting Grace, is very good friends with John Caglione Jr., who is an Oscar-winning makeup artist. And he did Heath Ledger's makeup as the Joker. Donnie Brasco. Okay. He's Al Pacino's personal makeup artist. And he was producing this thriller in Maine. And he called up Corey Garriak to be the DP on it, sent him the script. And Corey Garriak read the script and thought of me as the lead. And called me up. And then that's how I got that one. Not by audition, you know, by word of mouth. Like it's been luck.
If you're not in that position, so isn't that weird? It's like the butterfly effect, right?
Yes. But no, it seriously is.
But if you don't put yourself in that position, then it's not gonna happen. So it's like if you didn't succeed the first time, it's like, I don't know.
Well, I think it's all about forming connections with people and like wanting, working well and remembering people you've worked with. And I think valuing both sides of the camera, like valuing the crew as an actor, like networking with the crew, talking to them is because they're just as valuable to the production, almost even more so. I mean, they're making it happen.
They're not going to be like, hey, could we cast Madeline? She was so mean to us in all the movies. Like they're not going to. call her up.
Call that one. Yeah. Right. So it does you good to be kind. Shocker. Surprise. Right. But Corey and I just really hit it off. And then he called me up for that. And then I got to do that film, which was released nationwide and AMC's all over the country in May. And that's on Amazon Prime. That's called The Ruse. That was pretty exciting. And then Hazel comes around and, Tim Goodwin is an actor. This is like a long story. I'm sorry. I'll get there. Tim Goodwin. Thank goodness. Tim Goodwin plays a part in Getting Grace. He plays one of the funeral home directors. He's a fantastic working actor out in LA. He's done all kinds of things. You've seen him in everything. He's a great character actor. And he submit his audition reel for Hazel. And the casting director saw a scene from Getting Grace on his audition reel. And he saw me as Grace and thought that I would be a good fit for Hazel and then contacted my manager asked me to read because they had seen me in someone else's audition reel. And that's how I got Hazel.
Isn't that wild? This is such an aside. You know the band Garbage, right?
Yes, I've heard of them. I'm not too familiar. I can't
Okay. For the people who know them, very long story short, I didn't know that the lead singer, Shirley Manson, the guy who started the band, Butch Vig, he like just saw her on a random like MTV video at 1 a.m. and then had his people call her people in England and then started the band. Like that was
cool. Yeah, that's how it happens, I guess.
What are you going to do? Really?
Right. What are you going to do? Yeah.
But before that, you put in a lot of work in the Lehigh Valley. You know, we were just talking about the Freddies. I think the Freddies are the greatest thing because it's like the Super Bowl for high school theater. Can you talk a little bit about how, can you talk about how the Lehigh Valley shaped you a little bit or
totally
acting, you kind of grew as an actress in there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's so much to say to that. I just, you know, growing up, my mom's a costume designer and a theater director and works for the ballet in costuming. So that's how ballet was like my first love. That's like my, absolute obsession and discipline, but didn't have the stuff to make it as a ballet dancer, and luckily have other interests.
A fallback career.
Well, thank God. But so my mom took my sister and I to see a lot of live theater when we were really little. She took us to see the Shakespeare Festival, Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival at DeSales. I credit that to be, I remember being like, so like one of my first memories, I was a toddler and we were watching A Midsummer Night's Dream and I saw the kid fairies on stage and I was like, so amped up. I thought, let me get at it. Oh my God, I want to get up there. So that was the moment growing up, seeing like absolute top line theater just here in Bethlehem at DeSales. But then watching the Freddie Awards on TV as a kid was like watching the Tonys or the Oscars.
Right.
And by the time I was like in third grade, fourth grade, Bethlehem Catholic High School has theater for the local elementary students. So the late, great, incredible Alice Free was like the director at Bethlehem Catholic for many, many years. She was my first director, absolute love of my life, mentor, incredible woman. And she gave me an opportunity to be in like this little Christmas show. Then I got involved in the Becca Theater as like a kid. And by the time I was at Becca, I kept at it, you know, and I trained vocally and music at the Moravian College's like community school. So I was training in opera there, singing in my glee club at school. And then at Becca, I was doing the theater and competing at the Freddie Awards. And I kept up with my ballet at Pennsylvania Youth Ballet, which ballet is acting. I was just performing. I was training.
Staying busy.
All the time. I mean, everywhere. I mean, I just think the training here is top of the line. And I was given so many opportunities to be performing at Allentown Symphony Hall, Zollner Arts Center, at Bethlehem Catholic High School, at the Pennsylvania Youth Ballet, Moravian College, doing concerts there. I was singing in the Bach Choir of Bethlehem, another performance opportunity for kids. They have a youth choir and they have a school program and everything. Yeah.
It's crazy that you mentioned like 12 different places and we could probably name another 12, like Touchstone Theater. My daughter went to camp there. We love them. My point is like, wow, there's a lot of opportunities in the area if you do want to pursue stuff, right?
Yeah. Like MNOPCO, Municipal Opera Company in Allentown. I did shows there. Pennsylvania Community Theater down on Ilix Mill Road in Bethlehem, the Pennsylvania Playhouse.
Yeah.
I did shows there with Mark Briner. Shout out to him. Yeah.
We don't have a loss of, you know, opportunities, I guess, to go out there and get
up. I get like emotional thinking about it. It's like a spoil of riches.
Well, it's fun because it's like my Facebook feed now. It's like somebody, you know, my friend Richie, you know, Richie Wormkessel, just was in. Yeah, he was just like the lead of Shrek in the Shrek musical they put on it. So just like following the friends who were like in community theater stuff. I'm like, this is great. You know,
Sing for America, another great one. Sing for America, the Ice House. Oh my gosh, yeah, it just goes on and on.
Yeah. So, well, let's talk a little bit about the movie. What we're here to talk about it. Hazel itself. We had mentioned it's about a blizzard in the 1920s and Hazel is protecting her siblings. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about it? What, you know, speaks to you? Obviously it looks highly emotional and thrilling. You know, what spoke to you about the film?
So what spoke to me honestly was that it's a true story. I absolutely love history and I have always loved stories that were just based in reality and real events. So Hazel Minor was this very shy, quiet, not super healthy girl. And she was the older sibling to Emmett and Meredith Minor. And they went off to school one day and an absolute whiteout blizzard hit. People, you couldn't even see like a foot in front of you. Those blizzards still hit North Dakota like today. And I met a woman out there. We had a screening and she showed me pictures on her phone of the snow and what it looks like. I mean, to this day. So these things without the technology we have today, were just like, you know, devastating and deadly. Yeah. And Hazel and her two little siblings got kind of stranded in this whiteout blizzard on their way home from school and were stranded for 25 hours. And until the search team found them. But in that time, Hazel Minor famously kept her little siblings alive. And I don't want to spoil anything, but she goes to the ultimate length to save them. And she's become this heroine of the Badlands, that part of the country. And people teach about her in schools. There's a folk ballad.
It's like,
written about
it's like
her.
A folklore. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, she is a hero, and they literally teach about her. I met all these people from North Dakota, and they were like, yeah, in school, they teach you about her. And it's like a warning, or a do what she did. If it were ever to happen to you, this is how you should behave. And these are the things you can do.
And then the filming itself, I know that we have movie magic and everything, but how was that? It looks like there was some physicality to it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, we had this incredible fake snow company that's like based out of the UK in Los Angeles. They've worked on like Chronicles of Narnia, huge fake snow films, and they're the real deal. And their team came out. So we were shooting it all inside on the sound stage under hot lights, full wool costumes. So although we looked cold, we were all like sweating. It was really hot. And we had the fake snow and the bubbles and it was just incredible. We had an amazing horse wrangling team from South Dakota. And so the horses in the film, there was work with horses. So
were they in on the soundstage?
Yes. Yeah. So on lunch break, you'd hear across the tile floor in the Kmart, the horse like clip clop going by.
And everything like,
yeah. Oh my gosh.
Like 15 years ago, somebody's working at Kmart, and they'd be like, in 10
one day,
years,
there's going to be a horse pen. Literally, they had, the horses were kept out on the side of the Kmart there. But I did most of my own stunts. There's, I think, one stunt. We had this incredible stuntman, Tim McCulley, come in from LA. And there's one moment where I don't even know if it made the film, though. But yeah, it was physical. There's moments that it challenged me as an actor in so many ways. It was just incredible. Yeah.
It's just so interesting how, you know, you tell the story of, you know, I meet Dan, and obviously I think you would have been successful regardless of meeting him or not. But it's just interesting how that path kind of, you know, starts out that way. You know,
I don't think so.
It throws you in the right direction, and you know. Well, they're not just giving out lead actress roles to people. So, you know, you gotta earn it some way. But it does obviously help you when people are vouching for you.
It's having people support. It's support. It's community and networking and getting out there, getting off your phone,
right?
And meeting people and working with people. Yeah. And you never know what can happen. But I owe all of it to Danny and Bethlehem because I believe in fate, and I think I was supposed to meet him and all of these things that happened. I had this experience out there in North Dakota filming this movie. I felt the most fulfilled. It felt like everything I'd ever done had been leading up, which is so cheesy to say, but the history and the physical training of being a dancer to be able to just throw yourself into doing stunt work, which is no joke, you know, but that's it, was being a dancer. All these things, I taking on a titular role, just like getting Grace. I mean, I felt ready to tackle kind of the weight of Hazel and the pressure. I was familiar with it because I did it with Getting Grace. It wasn't anything that was scary to me. All of those things just combined led up to feeling like I felt like it was right, you know?
Yeah, no, it's so neat. Like you're talking about being in that moment and thinking, how did I get here? Oh yeah. Hard work.
And this.
And we're going to be able to hear more about that because although you can't, you are going to be able to stream this. We want you to go see it in person at Frank Banco Alehouse Cinemas. So it's 7th, 8th, and 10th. And that's at Frank Banco Alehouse Cinemas at Arts Quest in Bethlehem. But there's a Q&A and everything, right? Can you talk a little bit more about that?
There's going to be a Q&A on the Sunday screening, the 7th at 1 p.m., as well as the Monday screening, the 8th at 7:15. There won't be a Q&A that Wednesday, the 10th. But the 7th and the 8th, myself and the film's producer, Brock Holbert, is coming. He's coming from North Dakota for this. And he's bringing
That's so cool.
He is bringing merch. There's major Hazel merch, and he will have that. And he will answer all types of questions, like technical. I mean, he was involved in every aspect of making the movie. He's also the nicest, most energetic, most loving person you'd ever want to meet. And it's really cool to see it on the big screen. It's because it's visually beautiful.
I mean,
to see it on the big screen is a big deal.
I want to make a quick joke about it. I got to connect him with whoever's in charge of that Kmart. I won't anyone. But how does it feel to be, I mean, you're going to be watching this movie, doing a Q&A with, you know, people much like yourself a couple years ago, right? How does it feel to be watching, how do you think it's going to feel, I guess, to be watching that movie, you know, being in the Lehigh Valley, sharing that with it? It's pretty cool, right? It's powerful, right?
Like, why are you, we're trying to make me cry
today. Sorry, I'm sorry. I just think really hard about this moment.
Well, to be honest, I'm going to just be a wreck. I'm just so excited. And I saw the film out in North Dakota in September, and it was my first time seeing it. And after I saw it, I just was like, I need my friends and my family at home to see this. I just need all these people. I want all the people that I've worked with my whole life here to get to see like that. It people take it and they run with it. Mm-hmm. And I talked with the people at ArtsQuest, and I'm friends with Anthony at ArtsQuest, and I said, hey. You know, here's the movie. Would you be? I don't know. You know,
you're like, hey, I happen to star in this movie. Would you mind playing it in the theater?
He's like, well, let me watch the trailer. After he saw the trailer, he, without hesitation, he's like, absolutely. So that even goes to show you the support. I mean, that they're going to do this as a just an act of love.
Right. I mean, that is true. Because it's not just like you can just walk into whatever area you grew up in and be like, put it on the movies.
Yeah.
It is the fact that ArtsQuest is saying, yes, this is valuable like to us. To,
Yeah.
That's have a facility we can do that is very cool. So we're looking forward to this. I'm really excited to watch it. Can you remind us again when it's going to be available to stream?
December 23rd.
Okay.
December 23rd, available on digital December 23rd. You can pre-save it. You can pre-save it on Apple TV.
I love to do, I'm going to tell my daughter and be like, I was just talking with her and we're going to pre-save this movie on Amazon. You're going to
be crazy. And then please come in person.
We will. So we want to get people to this, but what's next? I mean, are you taking a little bit of time? Are you constantly auditioning? You know what?
Yeah, I'm also a jazz vocalist. Okay. I didn't get into that, but I have a whole kind of side job as a jazz singer, and I perform all over. I've got a gig coming up on Valentine's Day at the historic Deerhead Inn, which is the oldest jazz club in the country.
Yes. That's prestigious. That's a nice gig. Sure.
I'm excited about
that. Valentine's Day, no less.
On Valentine's Day. I'm so stoked about that. I just was playing there last weekend. I record with a record label in New York, and I came out with an album in May called Love Madeline. And that's everywhere. You can listen to that album. Apple TV.
I didn't even have this info. I was going off of the movie. I should have plugged the album as well. Well, that next time we'll have to come back on.
But I'm looking at recording more music. I'm really kind of focusing on the music right now, but I'm feeling a little, because Hazel was shot last year. Last year. I don't even remember. It's been a blur, and I feel like I'm ready for what's next. So I don't have any set projects releasing after this one, but hopefully we'll be working on one.
All right. Well, Madeline, this was a delight. Thank you so much. You're so, you know what? I feel like proud of you. Is that like allowed?
No,
I feel so proud of what you've done. Because it's just, you've accomplished so much in such a short period of time, and coming from the Lehigh Valley and then lifting other people up, we get behind that. So congratulations.
We're
looking forward to it. All of the stuff we talked about is in the show notes. You can link off.
I love you, George. I love you.
All right.
I love Lehigh Valley with love. And the Lehigh Valley.
We love you too. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you guys soon. Thank you.